Got any praises today? Well, you do already, Francis. You got your brother visiting you.
Hi.
I'm beautiful.
How are you?
Beautiful. How are you?
Beautiful. Good.
Jerry,
go ahead and get us started.
Well, I had a good day on Friday and a good week. Also, this the shoulder is very, very slowly still getting better.
Amen. Who else has a praise? Jerry did have a good week. Lisa?
I praise the Lord that me and my husband are back here today. We missed last Sunday. It's good to be back.
Amen. All right. That's good. That's good. Francis?
I have a few. I have wheels. I have transportation. Thanks to Daryl helping me go and look at it and pick out the perfect vehicle for me and bargain the perfect price. And I'm lucky to have my oldest brother around for like 3 days. Like, it's amazing. I have missed him. Oh, he's from Abilene. This is Amos. You didn't meet him.
Amos.
Welcome, Amos.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome.
All right. Good. Good. Who else? Mary and then Vicki.
Okay, I just want to praise and thank God for this beautiful day. Although it's cold, it's pretty. I just want to thank him for it.
Definitely cold.
Yeah, it's cold, but beautiful.
Yeah. At least the sun's out.
All right, Vicki, go ahead.
Praise God, Bubba and I are here after being sick last week, and I didn't get antibiotics, and he did, and we got well about the same time, and I praise God, Miss Mary here, and still praising God.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Sherry, what's your praise?
Well, first I'd like to praise God for the wonderful wedding shower yesterday. They did so great, and it was lovely. And I just praise God for being here and all the blessings that he gives me on a daily basis.
Amen.
Of course, the wonderful man.
Aww.
I know, Pastor, you got something to say. Go ahead. I'm ready for it.
No, actually, I have absolutely nothing to say.
That would be a good idea.
I'm just feeling sorry for Alan.
You shouldn't feel sorry for him.
No, he's lucky.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, luck is, where's that in the Bible? I forgot what chapter that was in.
He is blessed to have her.
Vicki, go ahead.
I also want to praise God for Taylor and Lacey being able to be here today, despite the fact that they closed 45 when he's in town. And I praise God for spending quality time with one of my best friends, doing the thing we love to do most, and getting powdered sugar and flour and icing everywhere, but you know that stuff cleans up, and the result was amazing.
So y'all made a mess, huh?
We did. And Bubba said, "So what in the world did you get on your phone?" I said, "You didn't realize what I was doing,
right?"
I said, "You should see Gloria's, and mine looks actually pretty good."
Yeah. She's gone all day and left me all by myself.
Oh.
Great job, man.
Are you praising God for it, or are you?
Some of us know.
Some of us know when not to say no.
From Proverbs.
Who else?
Yes, where luck was in the Bible. Ecclesiastes 9:11.
9:11.
I have one more.
Thanks, Jerry.
Go ahead and read it.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jerry.
I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not for the swift, nor the battle for the strong, neither yet bread for the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all.
Wow.
Okay.
That's very seldom that happens.
Yeah.
Normally, when I use up all my words, I get laryngitis for about 2 weeks. So. But I haven't.
I have a praise.
Had that lately. Clarissa, what's your praise?
I want to praise Caleb had his first sleepover with Josh and Christine last night, and I didn't die. I made it.
Separation anxiety.
Yeah.
He came in smiling ear from ear to ear, so I don't know. It must have worked out pretty good.
He
didn't think about me. It's okay. He told me, I'm going to be too busy. I'm just having fun. He'll miss you.
He told you that?
Yeah. And I said, that's good. That's what you're supposed to do.
Wow.
And then you cried afterwards.
He's about to cry now. Taylor.
So I got a praise. I get a, I guess Monday's President's Day, so I get an extra day with my daughter this week.
Amen.
Hey.
Amen.
That's a good praise. Yeah. Enjoy it while you can. They grew up fast.
Oh, I'm telling you. Very. Come up to see if you're outgrowing something and got more to say.
Who else? Anybody? Yeah, there's Glenn.
I had a good praise of something that happened last night, and actually started in the afternoon. My daughter Christina made chicken legs, 8 of them, in 2 little pans in my Easy Bake oven, and it's cooking for 3 hours on 250, and then a half an hour with the foil off.
Probably not easy.
Man, it was just so good.
Well, I have not ever heard of an 8-legged chicken before, but.
They're hard to catch.
I heard Ronald Reagan tell us about a 3-legged chicken. I'd forgotten where I heard that joke, and it, sure enough, it's Ronald Reagan.
The one they couldn't catch?
Yeah.
Yeah, I told you that joke.
Yeah.
I got a price.
But I have serious, I don't know what to call it, reservations about a grown man that's still using an Easy Bake oven.
Yeah. What do you mean still using?
And then admits it in public. If I was still using an Easy Bake oven, I don't think I'd tell anybody about it. Yeah. There's some things I think I'd just keep to myself.
He said his daughter was using it.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, but it's his oven.
Oh, it's
here? Yeah.
That's
what he said, my Easy Bake oven.
Oh.
Go figure. All right. Anybody else? Daryl, go ahead.
My daughter, Kendall, has, for those of y'all don't know, is eligible and under review for pro.
Awesome. Pray for her for that.
Car lined out for her and praying for her. She's doing and saying things that new Christians, like just gotten saved, says and does. Making a lot of mistakes that new Christians made too. It's all right. I'm praying for her.
Yeah. Brenda.
I just want to praise the Lord that my heart test results all have come back and they're all good.
Amen.
Praise
the
Lord.
Yeah, I got a wagon.
Go ahead, Daryl.
Our friend Robert, our neighbor that was in the ICU, he is in a regular room out of ICU. He got out of there yesterday and put into a regular room. He's stable and hopefully on the mend.
How's your dad doing?
Yeah.
How's your dad?
My dad is doing better. I talked to my brother this morning and last night. He's doing a lot better. He's sleeping. You know, he's getting some rest now.
Amen.
Able to hold down food.
That's good.
Thank you for your prayers.
Praise the Lord.
Well, I'm still praising the Lord that I was able to avoid the surgery from that thing, whatever it was. The intestine getting twisted up or blocked or I don't know. I don't know what happened. They thought it was, the CT scan showed that it had twisted. They said the scar tissue inside, and I bet I got a bunch of that. Clarissa.
Praise the Lord that Amos is here.
Yeah.
We've been trying to get him to come down here forever.
Well,
he showed up.
He did. He showed up. And we're glad. Glad to have him here. All right. Anybody else? This is as far as Jesus gets. That's what makes it important. Go ahead.
Thinking of you not having to have surgery, Starlet's doing amazing. She had to have surgery for it. And she is doing really good. She's able to eat and hold food down and start to put a little bit of weight on it.
Yeah.
That's good. That's really good. Yeah.
Yeah, it's no circus to go through that. There's, your guts don't want to work after they mess with you. So.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Taylor.
When you talk of lung cancer, I got to thinking about it. I had a good friend of mine who was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. They only gave him about 6 months to a year to live, and he's now in remission.
Amen. That's a pretty big deal. All right, we're going to John chapter 7 today. How many of you know families, Christian families? You just kind of assume that everybody in the family knows the Lord. But nobody knows the Lord until they come to know the Lord on their own. And Jesus' family was the same way. It said, after these things, there were a lot of things that happened in chapter 6 and a lot of run-ins with the Jews, Jewish hierarchy. And, you know, our political system today is messed up. I don't know what else to call it. It is. It's just messed up.
Real bad.
With no person to bring a lawsuit, they still brought a lawsuit and then passed a $365 million judgment against Donald Trump. Well, I mean, it's just what, I mean, the government can get away with anything unless the Lord steps in and stops it. I don't know how it's all going to shake out, but it's crazy enough. I was thinking yesterday that, you know, he hasn't picked a vice president to run him yet. I was thinking Greg Abbott might make a good vice president. Our governor. He could put some razor wire around the White House and just... who knows?
It's the same thing that it was in 2020. The Lord's either going to bless with Trump or he's going to judge us with Biden.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be Biden because I don't think he's got enough left.
He's going to bless with Trump or judge.
He looks to me like he's got about the same amount of energy I have. And it's not enough to do what he has to do. So... anyway, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. You know where Galilee is? It's at the top. For he would not walk in Jewry. What's Jewry? It's a guy with a split lip that's talking about his necklaces. Jewry is where most of the Jews are congregated. Where is that? Judea. In and around Jerusalem. It's down here. Well, you can see Jerusalem on there. It's about midway. It's about halfway. He would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. Now, the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. Now, that's a big deal. That attracts Jews from all over the country, all coming into Jerusalem for the feast. His brethren, therefore, said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Can you imagine that? I mean, you're growing up with Jesus as your big brother your whole life. You've seen him. You've seen what he does. You've seen his nature, his character, his lack of sin, quite unlike yourself if you were one of them. And then Jesus said unto them, I mean, if there was anybody on the planet that ought to believed in the Lord, it was those that grew up in the same house? Yeah, maybe. Well, I will tell you, growing up in a Christian home does not make you a Christian. You can live in a garage and it won't make you a car. I mean, it's not going to work.
Andrew, Joseph's brothers threw him in a pit.
There you go. There you go.
And things like they would say, like, yeah, Jesus is always perfect. Mom and Dad like him best.
Be like Jesus. Why don't you like this? I don't know if they had to endure that or not. Certainly, it could have happened. I don't know. Then Jesus said unto them, "My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go you up to the feast. I go up, not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come." What's he talking about?
Because of the Passover, it's not time for him to go up to Jerusalem and be...
What are they going to do when Jesus shows up?
They're going to crucify him.
They're going to kill him.
They're going to arrest him, and then they're going to torture him, and then they're going to kill him.
Yeah. Did Jesus know what's coming?
Yes.
Absolutely.
That would be horrible knowing that. The whole thing is, though, that Scripture is fulfilled, like all the...
It is very difficult for us to get our head around the fact of who Jesus is. He's not half man, half God. He's 100% God and 100% human at the same time. Now, I know you can't understand what that means. Who can? We're limited here. But it's still true. But here's a new paragraph in verse 10. "But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews saw him at the feast and said, Where is he?" I just want to mention something to you in passing, just as by way of the example we got here. You have close friends. You should anyway. Most people do. People think, well, she's my friend or he's my friend. I can tell you anything. No. There are some things you need to keep secret. Jesus did it. There it is right there in front of you. And I'm 73 years old, getting ready to be 74. I've lived a pretty long time. And I have learned that there are some things you just need to keep secret. How much is in the Bible about keeping your mouth shut? Yeah, it's no lightweight subject, is it? I've said enough on that topic. Let's read on. "Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said..." And by the way, Sherry, don't expect him to tell you everything he knows. And it's likewise. When people come to me for marriage counseling, they don't get what they're expecting. "Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him." If there is one thing that the Jews historically and typically have been really good at, it's murmuring. What is murmuring? I mean, you've done it. You know you have. But, oh man, there he goes again. Now, doesn't he ever know? Yeah.
They murmured and griped and complained so much in the wilderness that they waited until they all died off before they brought them into the promised land.
How far is it from Egypt to the Promised Land?
About 4 days.
Look down there. Look down there at the bottom. See the tan on the left at the bottom? What's it say?
Arab Republic of Egypt.
It's Egypt. Where's the Promised Land?
On the other side of Jordan.
It's the yellow.
It's like a 4-day journey.
It's like, well, I mean, yeah. Maybe longer than that, but it sure wasn't 40 years. Why did it take 40 years? What did they do that caused the Lord to keep them running in circles out there in the wilderness?
They were afraid.
Murmuring.
They murmured because there was no food, so he gave them food. Then they murmured because they didn't like the food he gave them, so they gave them quail until it came off their noses. And then they murmured because there was no water. And then they murmured.
Yes.
They were not content with what they were given.
No, I'm not sure I would have been either. But it's one thing not to be satisfied with what you're getting. It's another thing that's mumble griping about it.
Would to God we had died in Egypt, at least we had melons there. And we had
pillar of fire and a day of
pillar of cloud.
Pillar of cloud. I mean, doesn't that tell you something?
I think so.
That ought to speak volumes.
He opened up the Red Sea and they parted on dry land and then he closed it up.
Well, some of them said, this is just like politics. Some said, yeah, he's a good man. And others said, no, he deceiveth the people. Isn't it just like politics today? Well, I'm going to tell you what.
All right, humor. Come on. You got to laugh.
Second that motion.
Like the words.
Oh, we could get political. We could. But there's not going to be any profit in it. Did the people that said he was a good man finally come to agree that with the people that said he deceives the people? It's not? Well, thank the Lord. It's not mine. Did they ever agree on this?
No.
No, they didn't agree on it.
Nobody did.
We're still having the same argument today. You brag on Jesus, and there are people probably in your family or in your social circle somewhere that aren't going to be into that. And I don't need Jesus. I'm a good man. I'm a good person. You know anybody that thinks they're a good person? Are they? Are you? There is none good. No, not one. If you're a good person, what do you need Jesus for?
We think as far as the good part is our standard, not God.
Yeah, you can be good according to...
Anybody here that's good according to the world standard? I haven't found a standard that I'm good by yet. I'm still looking. Well, I'm not really looking because I've already faced my... I am a sinner. And I did not wake up one day and say... Okay, I'm going to be a sinner now. Did you? How'd it work? You are a sinner, are you not?
You're born
Adam.
That's right.
Thank you.
That's it. That's what Scripture says. He started. Everybody has fathers.
Then why should we be held accountable for what Adam did?
Because we continue to sin.
No. May I suggest that if it hadn't been Adam, it would have been me or you?
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's hereditary. Right. It's going to happen. Domino effect.
It is.
Started with Adam.
The only way is if we didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
If we didn't have a choice, then we wouldn't be a sinner. But because we have choice...
We'd be robots.
If we had no choice, we couldn't bring glory to God.
Robots are getting real popular, Daryl.
Yeah, they don't know people.
No.
That's right.
I mean, AI is getting pretty big. You think they're going to have AI so good that their robots will become sinners?
They're already sinners.
Yeah, I heard it.
I don't even want to get into that discussion.
We're here. Well, they're being programmed by sinners.
Like trying to be God.
Howbeit, no man spake openly of him, Jesus, for fear of the Jews.
What does that first word mean?
That what?
The first word.
No man.
Howbeit?
Howbeit.
Howbeit means,
How it be no man think.
Howbeit is, it's because of this. If somebody go to your electric Bible, a bunch of you have them. And press on howbeit and see what the actual Greek definition for that is. It says what?
Be that as it may, nevertheless.
Nevertheless. Nevertheless would be a really good definition for that.
That's how it be.
He deceived the people. Nevertheless, no man spake openly of him because of the Jews. If you spoke openly about Jesus, who are they going to come after? It puts a target on
them. Between themselves and complaining between themselves, but no one can speak up for him.
Yeah. Daryl?
When it says Jews, is that referring to the religious leaders or is it referring to the masses?
It's referring to the religious leaders and many of the masses on which their influence has been put out there. Those that have influenced them.
Yeah, on the high and mighty.
Yep.
So heavenly minded, no earthly good?
Frankly, they weren't very heavenly minded either, for that matter. These are the ones that Jesus identified clearly. Bob, that was Bob, by the way, I can tell you. I've heard that sound before.
I'm here.
Bob. Now, this is going to get interesting.
Yeah, this one's good.
New paragraph, verse 14. Now, about the midst of the feast, that's halfway through the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught.
Say, I'm here.
I mean, they're all gathered there, and so he just walks in, walks straight to the front, and turns around, starts teaching.
Can you imagine?
And blowing their mind.
Like,
whoa. Next one.
And the Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" Number one, they didn't all have Bibles. The only scriptures they had were the Old Testament, and the only place they had them was in the synagogue.
And they read them.
They read from them every Sabbath day. And Jesus walked in. How little they knew about Jesus.
Well, they had the actual
and
words.
How does this man know how to read those scrolls? He wasn't in our school when we taught the scribes how to do this. Having never learned. They think he had never learned. And did he have to go to school to learn it?
No, he wrote it.
He wrote it. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory." There's a bunch of that going around today. "But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keepeth the law." That, you know how that sat with them.
That wasn't very good.
And then he told them, "Oh, that was popular, yeah."
"So why go you about to kill me?" The people answered and said, "Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee?" They all knew. That's why nobody spoke openly of Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto them, "I have done one work, and you all marvel." Well, he's done a bunch of works, but the last one that they saw. "Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision. Not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers." Where did the tradition of circumcision come from? Where did it start? It started with Abraham. Is Abraham the one who brought them the law? No, it's Moses. "And you on the Sabbath day circumcise a man." If the eighth day comes on Saturday, they still do the job.
Out of
the hole. Well, they do that too. And he said, "And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day?" Every whit whole. What does that mean?
He was whole from the top to the bottom.
Completely healed.
Every whit.
Complete. Yeah.
I think at this point, to me, like what it's saying, it's like all sin is the same.
Physical,
like why
mental,
you're saying, okay,
and
this
spiritual.
Well,
they broke
now,
the law of the Sabbath.
Verse 24 is one of those scriptures that is most often used by itself instead of in the context of the whole thing. You've probably heard it before.
Yeah.
Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said some of them, because they heard that, is not this he whom they seek to kill? Isn't this the one they're trying to kill?
He just said that.
this is that little guy in the back that, you know, that normally doesn't speak up very much.
The telephone keeps going off.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. It was Bob. This is Bob the Jew. That's who this was.
But then he said he doesn't normally speak up, so that's fine.
Below he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ?
Yeah,
they should.
You see what's going on back there in the congregation? Do the pastors know that this is the Christ? Howbeit, nevertheless, we know this man whence he is. We know this man whence he is. He's Joseph and Mary's kid. He's from Galilee, right?
Whence he is, where he came from.
But when Christ cometh, no man knows whence he is. Well, we know where this guy came from, but when Christ comes, nobody's supposed to know where he came from. That was the rumor of the day. Is that true? Not really. No. I mean, when Jesus came, did anybody know?
Everybody knew.
Everybody knew. I mean, the sky was filled with a multitude of angels. God doesn't exaggerate in his word. When he says something, it's exactly what he says it is. How many is a multitude?
A whole bunch.
Millions.
More than we can even.
We don't know how many is a multitude. In the latest multitude, there were 5,000 men plus all their wives and daughters and kids. That was called a multitude. The sky was filled with angels singing praises. Hallelujah. Were they quiet, Mary?
Oh, no. They were praising the Lord.
They were. Hallelujah. They were making a lot of noise. And they went to Bethlehem, and they found the cave where they were using for shelter. And they found Joseph and Mary and the babe lying in a manger. Just a baby. I know it says they found Joseph and Mary and a baby lying in a manger. That last part is a single thought. They spent some time there with the family. And then they went back to work and never told anybody about what they saw. Is that right?
Oh, they told everybody.
They told everybody.
Everybody.
I mean, now some of you did that after you got saved, and some of you didn't. I guess it's a matter of personality. After I got saved, I pretty much told everybody. And I wasn't really good at it at first. I'm better at it now. And I keep my mouth shut more now. Imagine that. I know that's hard for some of you to imagine that, but I really do. How far is Bethlehem from Jerusalem? That's where the feast is held. It's in Jerusalem. How far is Bethlehem? Well, I don't know exactly how far, but you can see it on the map. It's not very far. But I know that when I got off the bus and I walked out onto the side of the hill in the outskirts of Jerusalem, I could see Bethlehem across the way. It was right there. It's just right there. The shepherds, what did they call it? It's a hillside, but it's the shepherd's field. Where they were keeping those sheep is right there on the outskirts of Jerusalem. It's sitting right between Bethlehem and Jerusalem. That's where the angels filled the sky with praises And angels are scary, for one thing. Everybody that sees an angel or talks to an angel in the Bible is filled with fear.
Fear not.
And that's why they always have to tell them.
Fear not.
Fear not. I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. All people. Starting with who? Gentiles?
Jews.
Starting with the Jews.
Jews first,
yeah,
then the Jews.
Right there. And here they are. They say, we know where he comes from, but when Christ comes, nobody will know where he's come from. That's what whence means, where from. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, this is interesting language right here. You don't see Jesus crying out very much. Cried Jesus in the temple. He got loud. I don't get loud much when I preach. Once in a while, I don't know where it comes from necessarily, but he said, you both know me and you know whence I am. They did. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, you know, there's multitudes and then there's many's. Many could be a dozen, or it could be three, or it could be... Well, three is, I don't think it could be three, but
you think when Jesus got loud, he convicted those people?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ comes, will he do more miracles than these which this man has done?
Yeah.
How can they believe in them and then ask?
I mean, these... You reckon there's anybody here that ate the loaves and fishes?
Oh, yeah.
No, sure there were. That was a multitude. And they were going back to the feasts.
They believed in what he was saying, but they didn't believe he was God.
The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him. They didn't mind the murmuring. They just didn't want it to be this kind of murmuring. There was two kinds of murmuring earlier before Jesus came. Some said he was a good man. And others said he's a deceiver. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them. Now this is a little bit unclear to some of us here. Who did he? Jesus said unto them. Is the them the Pharisees, or is the them the people he sent to arrest him, to take him? You'd think he was still talking to the Pharisees here, but he's not. He's talking to the ones that they sent. And I'll show you how I know that here in a minute. He said, yet a little while I am with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and ye shall not find me. And where I am, thither you cannot come.
Is it not because they're not safe?
Yeah. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go that we will not find him? Will he go to the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come? In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, that's a whole other subject right there that we'll probably pick up next week or the week after.
You can imagine how they'd be confused.
Many of the people, we're back to many instead of multitude, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh out of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? Were they right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why didn't they know? That's my whole thing. Like, why didn't they know?
I don't know. I guess these are people that the shepherds never got to.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus knew they were having these questions.
So there was a division among the people because of him. Jesus did not come to unite everybody. He didn't. He had no intention of it. He came to divide, and he did. So there was a division among the people because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. This is coming up on the part how, so I know who he was talking to when he answered them. Then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees. Now the officers, who are they? They're the temple. It's the temple guard. They're soldiers. They've got swords and spears and stuff. They came to the chief priests and they said unto them, the chief of the Pharisees and chief priests said unto the soldiers that they had sent. That's who we're talking about here. I know because of what they ask. Why have you not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. Sometimes arguments are brought up about doctrine. About, no, you can't go to heaven unless you're a good man. Or you can't go to heaven unless you're baptized. Or you can't go to heaven unless this or unless that. And then somebody else says, you can't go to heaven without Jesus. Without placing your trust in him.
Amen.
And we know that's true. But not everybody knows that. And there are people that would argue about it. That's other people that, yeah. They think, well, I come from a Christian family. We're, you know. Well, maybe you do. But it's not gonna solve this problem. But here's the thing. How does that kind of a division, that kind of a controversy get solved? You ever been in an argument with somebody like that? I'm not saying arguments are good. They're not. But
debate.
Have you ever been in a discussion, maybe a lively one, about some of those kind of subjects? How'd it work out? Agree to disagree? I've been in a bunch of those discussions, and I have never agreed to disagree. How's yours work out?
That was a good point, the Jehovah's Witness. I just thought that just never would make sense to them. Their understanding of what the Scripture says is not.
It's foolishness to them. They
won't understand it.
So Ray has been saying that.
I like protection. I tried to advise them twice after that. I was done.
The officers that were sent to arrest him couldn't deal with the things he said. They're like, Jesus never lost an argument. He caused a lot of them. He never lost an argument.
But he didn't know he'd keep arguing.
It wasn't really an argument.
Well, I mean, this is what's going on. This is This is happening right here on the pages of chapter 7. They, the Jews are challenging him that he doesn't know how to read, that he doesn't know anything. And he tells them, my doctrine is not mine, but him, the one that sent me. And then he tells them, why are they upset with him? Because on the Sabbath day, he made this guy whole that was had the withered hand. Remember that guy? And they're all up in arms because he did this on the Sabbath day, therefore he broke the Mosaic law. Right. And he needs to die. Okay. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. And so, how do you... Let's say, we'll be the devil's advocate here for a minute. Let's say, what'd you do to the clock? All our time's gone. That was ridiculous. We got to quit. You're going to miss this fellowship time. I'm sorry, folks. I didn't look back there. I had no idea it was going this fast. But what if you were one that was opposed to Jesus doing this on the Sabbath day, and then he gives you this argument? He said, well, you do the same thing. If that baby's 8 days old today, you're going to circumcise the baby. Probably did right in that same time. How are you going to argue with that? There are some things you just can't argue with. Well, we got to quit. Prayer list is right here. We got some prayer requests, so let me get to this. Brenda, four unspoken, and her health issues. Mary, please pray for my family. Pastor and his family, church family, and for the president. And let me just put all our political leaders there in big trouble and need help.